Help us keep the shows flowing to your ears. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and show us a little bit of love. Welcome, Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio in studio. Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And Lisa Murphy.
Hey.
And we're back with Buzzword Bingo Part 3 with more buzzwords we culled from the Facebook. We're talking about the buzzwords. And buzzwords, this is just terminology that gets, but making a buzzword means probably maybe overused in the field.
Perhaps overused, but I think also there's an assumption that when you use the word, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's just there's the presumption that everybody knows what's going on. It's used as a shorthand. What we found out is that that's not the reality. And I think just because it's a buzzword doesn't mean it's a negative thing. There are some buzzwords that are some pretty positive things that are going on, and maybe we wish they were getting understood as much as they were being used.
Ooh. Listen to you.
Hey, every once in a while I'm not cussing somebody out and telling them to retire.
And tell them to retire. Say that again.
I don't remember what it was. That's why we record the stuff.
You have to go back and listen to the episode.
It's not being understood as much as it's being used.
Yeah, it was that.
Okay.
Yeah. Make sure you quote me when you quote me when it's in your presentation next week. Mr. Johnson said.
Ooh, Mr.
Johnson, my ass.
Mr. Johnson, my ass, because he's my pet donkey. Okay, so what's the first buzzword we're talking about today?
I love saying this word. Rigor.
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 So do you know what the definition of rigor is?
Tell me.
Not
rigor mortis.
I know, that's what pops into my mind.
This is Merriam-Webster. Number one, harsh and flexibility in opinion, temper, or judgment.
Yeah, we want to prepare them for a rigorous school environment.
The quality of being unyielding or inflexible.
That doesn't sound very positive.
Severity of life.
Oh.
An act or instance of strictness, severity, or cruelty. A tremor caused by a chill. A condition that makes life difficult, challenging, or uncomfortable, especially extremity of cold.
Hmm.
Strict precision. Exactness. An obsolete is rigidity, stiffness, rigidness, or torpor of organs or tissue that prevent response to stimuli. I guess that's probably
rigor mortis.
And rigor mortis is the following one under that. So rigor means obsolete. It means a shiver from cold. It means severe. It means strict. It means cruel.
Unyielding, didn't you say?
Unyielding. And we want more of this in early learning?
I don't.
No. Are they using it correctly?
We need a more rigorous early learning curriculum is what the...
That's how you'll hear it.
Yeah. And again, this is a buzzword for people that are writing grants and trying to get funding in other ways and trying to sell their programs. I 4-year-olds are known for their rigor.
Toddlers. My toddler is so rigorous.
Oh, if only.
Nah, I don't know. What else do we have to say about rigor? It's fun to say.
It is fun.
Rigor.
Scaffolding. I think that's a word. We've talked about that before. That's a word that people use but are not quite sure what it means. It's often misunderstood, I think.
You want to spend a minute and explain it?
Scaffolding is the assistance that is given to children either by another kid or by an adult when there's an observation that they might be able to do a little bit more, right? That's ZPD and Vygotsky. So when that assistance is offered, it's technically referred to as scaffolding, but it's really a fancy way of saying assistance being given because you observe that the kid was ready for you to intervene, as opposed to you saying, you're four, this is something you should do, so by golly, you need to go do it. So, but yeah, again, and I'm not sure why that word is so often misunderstood.
Well, because, I mean, maybe because it's a buzzword and it's taken a shorthand and people assume everybody knows what they're talking about, and then you start using the language without understanding the definitions, because I bet there are a lot of people that are running around talking about how we need rigorous preschool programs that haven't gone to Merriam-Webster
and seen what it actually might mean. Yeah, fair enough.
So I think we just get stuck in the language without knowing what we're talking about.
Research-based was given as an example of a buzzword.
I wish that one was buzzing around a little bit more and actually put into practice a little bit more, because maybe it's research-based is exactly what we don't do here.
What do you mean?
Well, they use the phrase research-based, but then they do the exact opposite. So we are an anti-research-based program.
Anti-research-based program.
But
I also think that some of the confusion here is that people will say research-based but don't have a true understanding of what qualifies as research. So it might get said more again than it actually really is grounded in fact.
Yeah.
Relationships was listed as a buzzword.
Well, I wish it was something we did more and paid more attention to.
Some of these are a little tricky for us to comment on, right? Or at least I'm feeling like I'm not quite sure.
I just don't see programs paying as much attention to relationships as they maybe...
But maybe it's a buzzword in the sense you go sit in a training or you sit in a workshop or you sit in a keynote and you hear somebody talking about relationship. So you're hearing it, but you're not necessarily seeing it executed in practice.
Yeah.
I think the other thing about buzzwords, when I first was introduced to the concept of buzzword bingo, was from our Kinder Chat friends, and they said that they made buzzword bingo sheets. So every time they went to a conference, they played buzzword bingo. And the context there was more that you had people outside of the profession coming in and talking to people in the profession who maybe had been coached on, these are the words that you should salt and pepper your speech with, because then there'll be a sense of buy-in when really you might have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Executive function and self-regulation, that was listed actually quite a few times. Actually, EF and self-regulation and DAP, developmentally appropriate practice, were the two things that were listed most on our give us a buzzword.
Are those buzzwords, or is that just terminology?
That conversation could have started. I mean, that question we probably should have asked each other five episodes ago.
Well, we're only
Is this like stuff for the wiki, for our glossary, or are these really, what actually is a buzzword? We never really got there.
Well, actually, in the early childhood wiki, earlychildhoodwiki.com, we've actually got a buzzword tag set up for things that the editors of that page feel that are buzzwords. So some of these things that we've talked about here as buzzwords aren't going to get the buzzword tag over there, I don't think, because I think there's a difference between terminology that is talked about frequently and buzzwords.
Well, now that you're throwing that on the table, I would probably say that most of what is still up here and a lot of what we've talked about in the last buzzword episodes are probably more terminology really than buzzwords.
Oh, does that mean we should end this episode?
Well, good day. Good day, sir. Just for the sake of kicks and giggles, I'll read the rest of them. And if you have anything to say or jump in, okay. Observation was listed as a buzzword. Continuity. Class. I think
continuity could be kind of buzzy.
continuity of care, I think, could be kind of buzzy.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's something we need to actually pay more attention to and be better at, because I think we fail children in our ability to provide continuity in their care way too often. But I can see if you're writing grants or something, or giving a presentation, that's one of those.
So do you think on, and I don't know, did you actually look up, is there a true definition of buzzword? Because yeah, sense that I'm getting is that something might be more inclined to be a buzzword if in fact the phrase is being used a lot, but we're not actually doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
The class evaluation system tool was listed, the class tool. Movement was listed. Parallel play. Social.
Parallel. No, see, that's terminology.
That's a terminology. And no offense to anybody who posted these up there by any chance. Free choice was listed up there, which got me thinking again about a conversation I had with a colleague a couple of years ago about when we're out there saying that we're defenders of play, are we really defending play per se, or are we attempting to defend a child's right to choose things within the space? And I had forgotten that had moved me so much until that came up again, and I think that's an awesome conversation to have with people.
And what other kind of choices are besides a free choice? If it's a controlled choice, then is it really a choice?
Well, free choice would mean that the environment is set, but then children can move within that space and make decisions on where they're going to be, how long they're going to be there, who they're going to be there with, right?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Well, I don't know. I just think choice, when you put the limits of, if you put limits on choice, like then it's not really a choice, then it's more.
Well, give me an example of a limit on choice. A
limit on choice. No, you can't have the black paint.
Mm.
You can have these four colors of paint.
That's, you can play here or here.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's 19 other things available. Child-led, which we covered that in the other episode. Child-led, child-centered. Those are good terminologies. That's good terms, I think, that are worthy of being defined by people who use them. Inquiry. Challenging behavior, that's one of those phrases that if somebody approaches me with that, we pause the conversation until I get a clearer picture on what you mean by challenging.
Yeah, because
challenging to me might be really different than you.
There's plenty of behaviors that would drive some people off the wall, and I have
you'd be opening another beer.
Yeah.
Quality and high quality. Quality was listed.
We are quality. Now we need some high quality.
Again, quality, playing devil's advocate. What's a quality environment? You know, I know a lot of places that meet all the check mark, tick boxes criteria, but, you know, the teachers are sitting there on their butts and not engaged and, you know, but we met all the criteria, so we're considered high quality. And you've heard me say this before, I had a huge, and that's what started my issue with the accreditation process, was when you were lumped into the not quality programming just because you were choosing not to get accredited.
Choosing not to participate in it, yeah.
Emotional intelligence was listed as the buzzword. Play was listed. Brain-based learning. I would say that sometimes that can be buzzwordy.
Yeah, that's buzzwordy.
Process versus product. Think more of a terminology. Term, I don't know, but we say that, but you still see 24 identical penguins hanging up on the bulletin board in Phoenix.
You have a lot of penguins out there. They migrate.
They did. Global warming just got so bad.
Did you want to give the address too?
Pre-writing was listed. That's what?
Pre-writing, I mean, that's kind of buzzy. I mean, there's a lot of talk. When I think buzzwords, I always think about people writing grants. Because I mean, if you look at, I mean, like, what was it? I can't remember. It was Race to the Top funding. And they've looked at this, that grants that used a certain set of buzzwords were like whatever percentage more likely to get funded. So, I mean,
collaboration.
And people start reading that stuff, and then they purposely start peppering their documents with those words.
I wonder if it would be possible to write a grant using nothing but buzzwords.
Go.
For extra credit.
Yes.
Rigorous observation of pedagogical narratives.
There, dude. wow. It's like wolf words. It's like linking together wolf words and people going, damn, this is an awesome program. And meanwhile, you unpack it and you're like, so they watch kids do stuff. They write it down. Which is really the watered down definition of pedagogical narrative. I had to look that one up.
That's a mouthful.
Pedagogical narration.
Yeah, one thing about some buzzwords, and specifically that one, some of them just sound a little bit pretentious too. It's like
especially when you get the definition of what it means.
It's like we're whoring up our language to.
We are. I usually say sexy up our language.
Well, potato, potato.
Sexy whore, whatever.
Whore. I opt for probably the simple language because one of the reasons the buzzwords fail us is that, again, we've talked about it, the failure of understanding about what they really mean. And so when we can break them down into real simple language and concepts, I think there's a better opportunity for people to understand exactly what's being talked about. And if people understand what's being talked about, then there's a better chance that they may be able to implement those things. Or at least, I mean, the understanding maybe itself is enough.
I would agree with that. And I think, as I've said before, you can use this to your advantage if you are well-versed in what the words mean. And if you are well aware of the fact that you're actually doing that, there will be opportunities when sexing up the language will perhaps serve your purpose. Calling playing with Ooblik a science experience, an experience of the creation and observation of the properties of a non-Newtonian fluid is sexing up the language. At the end of the day, they're playing with Ooblik. But by golly, if to somebody walking in the door, if I can get funding for more cornstarch, if I call it exposure to the creation of a non-Newtonian fluid, I would potentially consider calling it that.
Pimp.
Things you do for your program.
Things you do for, what will Lisa Murphy do for cornstarch?
Coming soon to a podcast near you. Hey, baby.
Any other buzzword conversation we got?
That was the last one.
Any other conversation, or should we wrap it up? And any final thoughts on buzzwords? I don't think we'll come back to this series, but I mean...
Well, I think some of the little ahas that they... And they will, but I think some of the little bullet points that you've tossed into this particular episode is good to keep in mind. Can you define your buzzword?
Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
Know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Simplify the language, especially if you're talking to parents. And I'm not saying parents aren't able to understand complicated language, but the reality is when you're writing and when you're speaking, you want to use language that's accessible to people. And mostly that means what, eighth grade kind of talk is if you read up on that and so simplify things, make the concepts and
go ahead. I think there's room. Yes, I'm agreeing with you, and I'm saying that using the real like simplified language, but then also showing how it means the same thing as this fancy word or this buzzword, I think that's really important.
Well, yeah, being able to say, hey, here's this word, pedagogy. And here's what it means. It means watching stuff, keeping an eye on things. I mean, whatever it is. And so being able to just simple, clear, concise definitions for some of this stuff so that we can all maybe be a little bit more on the same page with the conversations we're trying to have.
Because, well, and it's knowing your audience.
Yeah, because a lot of times buzzwords get tossed around with the, like we've talked about, the assumption that everybody knows what we're talking about, and they don't. And so conversations don't really happen because people are talking past and above each other, and so no forward motion is generated from that.
Hmm. Okay.
This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Back soon with another episode. Bye bye.
Bye.
Until next time. We'll be right back.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.